65. Tariana. The bridge was made of three lengths of cable, one for walking and the other two for balance, forming a V shape that was held together every few feet by thinner pieces of cord. A fourth rope ran over her head, which she assumed was for baggage, although perhaps it was meant to be a secondary route across if the bridge itself came loose from its moorings. It wasn't a comforting thought. The bridge had to be close to 200 feet in length. Hanging above the ravine and the icy rapids 300 feet below, and with each gust of wind, it swung violently from side to side. Tariana had spent her whole life in the rigging of the Quincense, had climbed the main mast in the middle of countless storms to untangle lines and repair sails. Climbing ropes into the heights was part of who she was, but this bridge terrified her. Marcus had taken one look and turned away, and was now on his knees, retching on the bare rock of the plateau. He was not going to be able to do this. "I'll go back and cut some of the rope we just used," she said. "I'll tie you to me, that way."
"No."
He straightened, wiping his mouth with the back of his mitten. "It's my call, remember? You promised to listen to me."
"Not this time."
There was a faint wheeze to his voice that made her skin prickle with apprehension, but he seemed more lucid than he had in hours, more in control of himself. "Marcus," he shook his head.
"I'm too heavy. If I fall, you'll be ripped right off the bridge."
He took a labored breath.
"Then we'll both be dead."
"But
the sun's setting. Let's go."
"Can't even go a day without giving an order," Tariana grumbled. Because if she didn't say something, didn't tell a joke, she was going to cry. Sweat ran in rivulets down her icy skin, and she felt strangely lightheaded as she turned to the bridge. It was mounted to an outcropping a dozen feet back from the edge, allowing her to test her balance on the cursed thing with solid ground still beneath her. Gripping a cable in each hand, she stepped up onto the lower one, biting her bottom lip as it quivered and moved from side to side. This close to the moorings, it only moved a few inches, but when they reached the center, it would be a whole different story. Taking a deep breath, she eased forward, humming one of the songs of her people because it forced her to breathe. Reaching the edge, she stopped, the song dying on her lips. It was so very far down. "This is not happening," she whispered, then turned back around. Marcus had his hands on the cables near where they were mounted, but had progressed no farther. "Stay here." Sprinting across the plateau, she eyed the faint glow of sun. Half an hour, no more. Then they'd be stranded in the cold and in the dark. She had to hurry. Clambering up the incline, she stopped short of the gap bridged by the spikes and pulled her knife. She cut through the fibers, knotting the loose end off so whoever came next wouldn't be without. Then took the portion that hung down the incline, looped it around her shoulder, and headed back to the bridge. "There's only 10 feet of it, but it should do for you." Marcus lifted his head.
"What?"
"I'm tying you to this." Climbing the outcropping, she pulled off her mittens and formed a loop around the line stretching above the bridge, double-checking her knot before jumping down. "Up." He climbed onto the bridge, saying nothing as she fashioned a harness around his legs and torso, probably because he didn't want her to hear the wheeze in his voice. "I have to keep slack enough that it won't pull you off when the bridge swings, so if you lose your footing, you'll drop a few feet," she said, "but you won't fall. Climb back up, then carry on."
"You need the same.
Tariana shook her head. There's no more rope and no time for me to go back and retrieve more. And if we don't get across this ravine to that shelter, we're as dead as if we fall. Besides, this is nothing to me. I'll be fine. Before he could argue, she climbed onto the ropes, moving swiftly down them, and stepped out over the edge.